Thank you for joining me today, coast to coast on the radio and all around the world on the podcast. When we left off yesterday, I gave you a friendly small assignment. Did you do it? I asked you to read Matthew chapter 3 for yourself and to see if you could identify some lessons Jesus has for us. What does Jesus teach us about the nature and character of our God from within what happens here, what is done, and from what is said, the words and the deeds? Did you do this? And if so, what did you come up with? I hope you did and jotted down some notes somewhere. Keep those with you as we proceed, and if you want to share them with me, send them along to my email or mailing address, both of which will be given at the end today. This passage marks the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. I say earthly ministry because Jesus has always existed, and from before the beginning, that is, eternally, he had a heavenly ministry. Here is a fact about Jesus that not even a lot of Christians know, I am afraid. Jesus is the person within the triune God of Father, Son, and Spirit who created the world. When you read Genesis 1:1, you'll read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And most people assume that is God the Father. But listen to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 over in the New Testament. This is Colossians 1:16. "For by Jesus all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." And the "him" here is Jesus Christ. Importantly, Jesus is not a created being. No, Jesus is the Creator. So when I say that Matthew 3 emphasizes the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, that is why. Jesus has an eternal, everlasting ministry, and yet he bursts on the earth for these extraordinary 33 years of human life. And here in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, I see one big truth from which will flow other truths about who God is. The big one I want us to focus on is this. In this text, Jesus teaches us that God gives us Jesus because God wants to identify himself with us. Get this on your mind. In Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17, Jesus teaches us that God gives us Jesus because God wants to identify himself with us. And if that seems remarkable, it is because it is. God initiates identification with us. God identifies himself with us. Now, where do I see this in the text? First, let me read the passage to you, and then I'll show you where I find this truth. God gives us Jesus because God wants to identify himself with us. I'm reading now Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. "Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent Jesus, saying, 'I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answering said to him, 'Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John the Baptist permitted Jesus. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" That was Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. This identification of God with us is in verse 15. "But Jesus answering said to him, 'Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.'" It is in verse 16, after being baptized. And the identification is again found in verse 17. "Behold, a voice out of the heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" The identification of God with us is in verses 15, 16, and 17 of Matthew chapter 3. And so let's go verse by verse in order to understand how God is identifying himself with people in the ministry of Jesus Christ. As the passage begins, Jesus arrives from Galilee, which is in the northern part of the nation of Israel, same as today. Jesus meets up with John the Baptist at the Jordan River, and the Jordan is, of course, still flowing there to this very day. And at the tail end of verse 13, we learn the purpose of Jesus coming to the river, and that is to be baptized by John, who is doing baptisms. This man, John, born 6 months ahead of Jesus. Remember, John's mother, Elizabeth, and Jesus' mother, Mary, are cousins. This man, John, is immersing in water those Jews and Gentiles who have repented of sin, confessing themselves as sinners. Matthew chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6 says, "Then Jerusalem was going out to John the Baptist, and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins." John's baptism is a baptism of repentance. He baptizes because of repentance. And see, that's why I spend so much time on what it means to repent. And this leads us right into the teeth of a very sharp question. Why was Jesus requesting baptism? Jesus did not require baptism because Jesus never sinned. Jesus never needed to repent. He had no sin to repent from, to repent of. Jesus was never, ever a sinner. So why be baptized? Well, I'll tell you why. It is so that Jesus can identify with us. As we are baptized, so too was the Christ. And the Bible says that when John the Baptist found out that Jesus wanted John to baptize him, John the Baptist objects in strong language. Verse 14 of our text, "But John tried to prevent Jesus, saying, 'I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?'" Highlight this word "prevent" in your thinking. This is a very strong expression in the original language. John Albert Brodus, who I think has written the best commentary on the book of Matthew, it took him 20 years to write. And by the way, he wrote it in 1886. 1886. Not 1986, but 1886. This has been tremendously helpful to me. Here's what he writes about this word "prevent." But before I get to the quote, you should know that at the time that Brodus wrote, in his English translation of Matthew's gospel, the word for "prevent" was the word "hinder." So Brodus would have read this in the English text: "John hindered Jesus." All right, now let me quote John Albert Brodus. "John forbade Jesus, literally was hindering him. The verb rendered hinder is compounded with a preposition which increases its force. Was completely hindering. Earnestly sought to hinder." End of quote for a moment. This is me again. John the Baptist is emphatically saying to the Lord Jesus, "No, I forbid that I baptize you. I hinder you. I will prevent this. I am not baptizing you in the Jordan River, Jesus." And remember the text, John the Baptist continued, "I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Listen now to what Brodus says about that line of John the Baptist's, quote, "In this next clause, all the pronouns are emphatic. I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" This is the expression of surprise, whether it be understood as an exclamation or as a question. This is the end of the John Brodus quote regarding John the Baptist's words to Jesus, but I think that's tremendously insightful for us. And why is John so emphatic? Why is John determined not to do what Jesus requests? Well, it is because John the Baptist knows that he himself, John, is a sinner, whereas Jesus is not a sinner. So why would Jesus, the non-sinner, be baptized by John, the sinner? Shouldn't it be the other way around? Remember, John's baptism is one of repentance. So this does not make any sense to the Baptist, and this does not make any sense to us either, unless we understand the purpose behind Jesus' request. Jesus states the purpose clearly by answering John in verse 15. This is Matthew 3, verse 15. "But Jesus answering said to John, 'Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.'" And here is the first way in which God gives us Jesus so that God can identify himself with us. This is where we'll start tomorrow. But as we make our way towards today's close, I want to say the baptism of which John and Jesus speak is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Anytime we talk about baptism, it is crucial that we understand what we mean by baptism, because there is so much widespread confusion in the church today about what baptism actually is. I feel that I need to stop here and teach for a bit on baptism, but I'm going to resist because I want you to keep your eyes on the magnitude of what God teaches us about his identification with us. So all I will say here is this. One, the baptism to which John and Jesus refer is water baptism. Two, this is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And three, there is no evidence that later on Jesus baptized John the Baptist. In fact, there is evidence in John's gospel to the contrary. And four, it seems from a very careful reading of the gospels that Jesus himself did not baptize anyone. Jesus did not baptize anyone. Now, if you disagree and or you have a question about this, email or write me a letter. I am happy to discuss any of this with you off the air, but I'm not going to take time to delve into a discussion about baptism now. I think that is important to do, and I could take the time to do it, as I have said, but I don't want to do that now. Let me be frank. There are a number of truths in the Bible that within the biblical text are clear. But somehow when people on the radio and in podcasting start teaching or preaching on them, it all becomes confusing. That's why we yearn for clarity. When we study the Bible, we want to do so with clarity. Well, baptism is one of these, and someday we'll get into that here, but just not now. We'll continue in Matthew 3, verse 15, as we end the week together next time. Jesus has now met John the Baptist at the Jordan River, and Jesus wants John to baptize him. But John prevents it. John wants to hinder Jesus. He wants to completely hinder Jesus. At first, refusing to baptize until Jesus states the purpose for Jesus' baptism. And that purpose shows the identification the Lord makes with you and I. And so we want to explore this much more deeply. I hope you'll come back tomorrow. Stick with me till the end of the week, and then we'll get into the weekend. So join me again tomorrow for much more on God Is.